The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus after having heard that Lazarus was ill. He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her, because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that life can be overwhelming. And I think at times we use those very words to describe it. For example, we might say that a conflict between Russia and Ukraine that's unfolding, we might say it is deepening. There are times in our lives where ourselves, or maybe our friends and family, we'd say they're deeply depressed at the moment. When a loved one dies, we might say we're now overcome with grief. During a particular season, we might say, I've come down with the flu. Ever feel like it's been hard at times just to get up, to get out? Maybe it's the weather, maybe it's things going on in your life, but you just feel weighed down. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Those first two verses in Psalm 130 that we heard today speaks to the human experience. We know that the depths from which we cry out to God is much more than a metaphor. We know that space all too well. And when we look at our first lesson from Ezekiel, we might feel in those times when we are weighed down, when we're overwhelmed and overcome, crying out of the depths to God that we're just a pile of dry bones, pleading and longing for restoration of life. And when we feel at times in our life when we're just cut off from the land of the living, so to speak, when we're overwhelmed and weighed down, we too might wonder if these bones of ours can live. Yet God promises life-giving breath. Yet out of the depths that we find ourselves in, it can be hard to believe that there is life-giving breath that can renew us. And it's also important to note that in our first lesson from Ezekiel, it's not about a single person, but an entire community. As we heard these words, then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And then later says, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Perhaps we can also reflect on our collective dry bones as Christians in North America. Do we long for a spirit of renewal? Now, I would contend that it doesn't matter what expression of Christianity one adheres to. Our communities have all seen the depth of division, the deepening of decline,
and wondering if this house, known as the churches in North America, can live as it once did. Perhaps that isn't the proper longing and prayer, to live as we once did. But all across the ideological spectrum, Christianity has found ways to shun and alienate, to gatekeep, and then to see ourselves exceptional in our own way, which puts us on the hook in that confession that we hear in Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? None of us have a leg to stand on, individually and collectively. None of us have a leg to stand on when it comes to our failure to invite and welcome people into the communion with the life-giving God, the living God. Now, our gospel lesson from John points us to the new life that we have in Jesus. And Mary and Martha find themselves overcome with grief at the death of their brother Lazarus. It is out of the depth of that grief they cry out to Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. I have shared with you many times that that has been a phrase that I've uttered in my own prayer life to God. If you had been here, Lord. I believe I've even shared in the past that this gospel lesson was the lesson that we used for my mother's funeral. Because we see the grief of not only Mary and Martha, but also Jesus. And the hope for new life. Now, in John's gospel, Jesus has seven signs. This is the seventh. Perhaps that weeping, perhaps the depth of the grief that Mary and Martha points us to, they point us to a time where God will wipe away every tear and swallow up death forever. And there may be some foreshadowing here in the difference between what's happening to Lazarus and what will happen to Jesus. Notice in chapter 11, verse 34 today, Jesus says, "Where have you laid him?" When Mary Magdalene is at Jesus' tomb and he's resurrected, she asks, "Tell me, where have you laid him?" For Lazarus, the burial cloths still cling to him. When Jesus is raised, the burial cloths are left in the tomb and the face cloths are rolled up. For Lazarus, death is denied, but he will die again. For Jesus, death is overcome. Now we hear today that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we are the body of Christ in the world. Jesus is also conveying to us that we are invited to participate in this new life that is broken into the world through the resurrection of our Lord. Notice that Jesus invites people to move the stone from Lazarus' tomb. Notice that he invites people to unbind him and let him go. Life can be overwhelming. But we are not alone. God is with us and God gives us a community to care for us. I recently read this statement on Twitter. We talked in previous weeks about revivals and such. This person said, "Why is it that revival and the sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit are only used for worship services and never describe things like fighting injustice and caring for the poor? I feel like the prophets in the early church would be confused by this." They would be very confused by it. A revival and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not just about us. Contrary to what many Americans do with spirituality by making it a self-centered enterprise, the whole household of God is impacted. And when the whole household of God is impacted, we don't contain it to ourselves, but we go out and we share that love with other people. In a couple weeks, we will rejoice in hearing the good news that a crucified man lives. And in taking our baptism seriously, we know that God's Spirit never leaves us. Out of the depths, we cry out throughout our entire lives, but we see light at the end of the tunnel. We know that God hears our cry and is with us. Like the psalmist, our soul waits for the Lord, and our hope is in the Lord, whose steadfast love gives to us our redemption. Beloved children of God, overwhelmed, we are not alone. And when others cry out from the depths of their distress, we assure them that they are not alone. For the Spirit of God sends us out to remove the stones that entomb people and to unbind people from whatever is holding them captive. As God's holy people, filled with new life by the Spirit, we wait for the morning with hope. We know the sun will rise. We also know that God's Son has risen. We do not engage this world with hopeless resignation, but filled with hope in the promise of the resurrection, that we become God's signs of God's kingdom, pointing to the one who is the resurrection and the life. Thanks be to God. Amen.